If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps me out a lot. Cheers.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Novel Analyst Podcast. I'm Jed Hearn, and every episode I analyze a story to help you become a better writer. This episode is titled Skaldarvy Pleasant, Deathbringer by Derek Landon. The Gap. And as always, there are big, big spoilers ahead. So if you haven't read this book in the series, the sixth book in the Skaldarvy Pleasant series, I would recommend reading that first and then coming back to listen to this episode. Skaldarvy Pleasant is a young adult urban fantasy series about these magicians who secretly live among us. There's a lot of books in the series, and book six is all about necromancers, who are an order of magicians dedicated to death magic. In previous books, they've wanted Valkyrie Kane, the series protagonist, to be their Deathbringer, this kind of prophesized savior who will dissolve the doors between life and death. She is not interested. Dissolving these doors doesn't really sound like a great idea, and I'm with her with that one. But in this book, the necromancers don't need her anymore. That's because they've found their own Deathbringer. And given that the Deathbringer has the word death in her title, well, this might be a problem. Now, there's a ton of interesting things about this book, like with all the Skaldarvy Pleasant books. I love them all. You know, the author, Derek Lowney, described this book as, quote, the darkest superhero story you're ever going to read with a bucket load of horror, end quote. And that's a pretty apt description. But today, I'm going to be focusing on character, because there are some amazing ones in the series, and I want to deconstruct why they are so amazing, why they're so compelling, why I've reread this series multiple times. So one of the aspects that makes the Skaldarvy Pleasant characters so compelling is their long lifespan. Because in this fantasy world, the magicians live for hundreds of years, which, you know, is great from a storytelling perspective because it gives you plenty of time to have these characters collect interesting experiences, dark backstories, and plenty of rivalries. For example, Skaldarvy Pleasant himself is about 400 years old and has well over 400 years worth of rivalries with pretty much every other character in the book. Now, it's not just the characters' old ages which make them interesting. It's how this is used, and this is where my storytelling brain gets really excited. So there's this concept that I've kind of developed to explain how this works and how Derek Lanner uses the characters' old ages to make such compelling characters. And the idea is called The Gap. The Gap. So I'm not talking about the clothing store here. I'm talking about the gap as in a separation between two things, you know, gap as in void or a chasm, something that needs bridging to get across. And I think it's a key concept for making interesting characters. So today I'm going to be looking at three steps to be using this idea of the gap to make interesting characters. Let's start with number one, knowledge gap. So number one, the knowledge gap is all about the gap or distance between what readers know about a character compared to the total of what there is to know about the character. So for example, at the start of a novel, readers probably know two things about your hero. But you as the author understand that there are 50 things they must know, and they probably will know these by the end of the novel. Obviously, these are just arbitrary numbers. I'm not saying that you can only have like two bits of information about your character at the start of the novel or whatever. This is just an example. As a general rule of thumb, the bigger this gap between the things that readers know about the start, about your hero at the start of the novel, and the total amount of information there is to know about the hero or protagonist from the author's perspective, the bigger that gap, the more interesting the character is going to be, because there's more hidden depth to them that readers have a desire to understand. There's more suspense and curiosity and mystery to their psychology. And a good analogy to explain this, which I'm sure you've probably heard before, is this whole idea of the iceberg. So, you know, as an author, you would brainstorm out and develop a big backstory for this character. Maybe it's, say, 20 pages in your notebook, And that becomes the foundation of that character. But when it comes to the actual story, you might only show 10% of that backstory, right? Because the rest of it just isn't relevant, even though it has constructed the character and it has, you know, led to this character's unique personality, beliefs, conflicts, attitudes, all that kind of good stuff. So here you can think of an iceberg, right? You only see that 10% of stuff above the surface, but you know that there's 90% more stuff underneath the surface, which is helping it float. So in the Skullduggery Pleasant series, the length of the characters' lifespans, you know, like we mentioned before, they're 100 years in life expectancies, these magicians, this length of character lifespans leaves this massive knowledge gap. So for example, Skullduggery Pleasant, 400 years old, plenty of time to insert any backstory in there, kind of like a cheeky way for the author to just conveniently insert any backstory if they need it for future novels, because they can just be like, oh, this happened 250 years ago, and authors will be like, yeah, you know what, there's a lot of room there to insert whatever you want. Well played, Derek Lanny. And we only really see a fraction of Skullduggery Pleasant's experiences because of his immense age, and again, this ties back to the whole idea of an iceberg. And this is emphasized by the fact that throughout the series, he never has a point of view. You never directly get to see what's going on in his mind. He's only characterized through the point of views and the narrations of other characters, which I think is a really clever technique considering that the whole series is named after him. You never actually get inside his head. However, it's not just about the size of the gap. It's not just a matter of saying, here, readers, you know 4 things about the character. There are really 200 things to know about the character. It's not just about the size of the gap. It's not just about the quantity of information gap between what there is that readers know and what there is in total to know. And that brings me to my second point here, the second step for using the gap to create compelling characters. And it is this, number 2, the reader desire gap. So this is the gap between what readers know about a character versus what readers want to know about a character. So the gap between what they already know about a character versus what they want to know about a character. And I would argue that this is probably more important than the first gap, which is all about the gap between what readers know about a character versus the total of what there is to know about a character. And the reason for that is that it creates sympathy and interest in the character when their readers really, really, really want to know what drives them, what motivates them, why they act the way they do, what's happened in their backstory, you know, kind of what struggles or ghosts they've experienced in the past. So specifically what you're doing with this whole idea of the reader desire gap is you're linking suspense to questions about someone's backstory. Because exposition or backstory can be a bit dry if you're just explaining it with no logical reason for it. However, if you can make readers really desire and crave and want this backstory and this exposition, it's kind of like baking, say, vegetables into a cake, right? Probably not a very good idea, but it's a way to like sneakily include things that you want to get in the reader's diet without them being resentful for having them because they're wrapped up in this kind of sweet tasting package. So if you make readers really want to know stuff about a character's backstory, then when you give it to them, they're going to eat it up. They're going to love it. But if readers don't really want to know something about a character's backstory, then when you give it to them, they might be wanting to skip it. They might not be interested, right? And you don't want that. So for example, in Skullduggery Pleasant Deathbringer, readers really want to know about the character of Lord Vile, who is this kind of almost mythical, powerful necromancer who was a big presence back in the Magical War a few hundred years before the book is taking place. And he killed hundreds of people. And there is a massive gap between what readers know about Lord Vile, which is practically nothing, just that he's this really scary guy who's killed lots of people in the Magical War a few hundreds of years ago. There's a big gap between that level of knowledge, which is limited, compared to what readers want to know about him. You know, they want to know who he was, they want to know how he was defeated. This guy just appeared out of nowhere, killed a bunch of people, and then disappeared pretty much as quickly as he appeared. And everyone is understandably, in the story world, kind of terrified about how this has happened and confused and concerned about the fact that the mystery still hasn't been unsolved. And readers, likewise, really want to know about him. So readers all throughout the series, particularly in the last few books leading up to this one, and definitely in this book, they've been seeded with a level of suspense and curiosity about Lord Vile's backstory. They really want to know what happens. And Derek Landy kind of just like holds back on that information, doesn't really give it to you yet. But he does in this book. And that's what brings me to my third point. So number three in this step-by-step process, I guess, of using the, that makes it sound really dry, but the third step in using the gap to create compelling characters comes down to this. The gap closure. So how the gap is closed or resolved or paid off is critical. Because you've really got to stick the landing here. It's got to be resolved in a satisfying way. And here, let's go back to Skullduggery Pleasant and Deathbringer, because again, I think this show is a great example of how to close gaps or, you know, pay off these seeds of a story in a really satisfying way. And again, massive spoiler here, if you haven't read Skullduggery Pleasant and Deathbringer, the sixth book in the series, please read it before you do, before you listen to this, or if you're not going to read it, that's fine. Just be aware that there is a big spoiler here. So in this book, the Necromancer's High Priest, the Necromancer High Priest tells Valkyrie, our protagonist, a story about the war. He reveals that in the war, Skullduggery Pleasant, who's the other main protagonist of the series, was killed, but he came back to life thanks to this magical trick. And this magical trick unlocked a secret power hidden within Skullduggery Pleasant. It unlocked his ability to be a necromancer. Now, Lord Vile was also a necromancer, and around about the same time that Skullduggery Pleasant died, Lord Vile appeared. And now I've seeded that in pretty heavily, it's done a lot more subtly in the novel, but what you can probably work out is this, which is kind of one of the big payoffs in the book. And that's the revelation that Lord Vile is Skullduggery Pleasant. After he was killed, he came back to life as Lord Vile, this powerful, evil necromancer, and he actually killed a lot of Skullduggery Pleasant's former friends. And this closes the gap between what we know about Lord Vile versus what we want to know about Lord Vile as readers. Like I mentioned before in step number two, the reader desire gap, we don't know much about Lord Vile, and there is a lot to know about Lord Vile, so that's kind of the first knowledge gap, right? There's a big gap there. But then more importantly, readers really crave to understand Lord Vile's backstory. So what this gap closure is doing here, and the reason why it's very satisfying, is because Derek Landy waits until readers are begging to know more about Lord Vile and also Skullduggery's backstory. And then, and only then, the payoff happens. Only then do readers understand that Lord Vile is Skullduggery Pleasant. And it's a big revelation in the story and really changes the way that a lot of the characters look at each other. Now, here's the key. The closing of this gap is relevant. It's relevant to this story, to Skullduggery Pleasant Deathbringer. It's not just this kind of random twist for, you know, random twisting sake. And this, I think, is the most important aspect to consider with gaps. How you close them has got to be relevant to the story's central plot, characters, and theme. In Skullduggery Pleasant Deathbringer, it's all about trying to stop, you guessed it, the Deathbringer from bringing death, because that would not be good, right? So the reason why they want to, why the characters want to know about Lord Vile is because back in his day, you know, 100 years before the story or whatever, he was prophesied to be the Deathbringer, and then he disappeared. So everyone's like, oh, well, if we can work out how he disappeared, we'll work out how to make this Deathbringer be powerless or whatever. So baked into the story is this fascination and curiosity and desire to unravel Lord Vile's backstory. And with that, of course, is the desire to unravel Skullduggery Pleasant's backstory, which is a kind of larger theme of the novel and something that, larger theme of the series, and something that is consistently built up and, you know, seeded throughout the earlier books in the series. So if it was just a random twist, like, hey, Skullduggery Pleasant, I don't know, Skullduggery Pleasant sold flowers back in the war or whatever, you'd be like, cool, that's a random twist. I don't really understand why that was there. But the reason why this twist works here, and the reason why this gap is closed in a critically satisfying way, is because it's relevant to the story's central plot of trying to stop the Deathbringer. It's relevant to the characters which have been built up throughout the novel, and it's very much relevant to the theme of the overall series about characters having these kind of dark backstories, yet struggling to overcome them. So to summarize today's episode, we talked about three kind of techniques that you can use related to this idea of the gap to create compelling characters through backstory. So number one was this whole idea of the knowledge gap, the separation or the distance between what readers know about a character compared to the total of what there is to know about the character. Number two was the reader desire gap, which I think is the most critical one, which is the gap between what readers know about a character compared to what readers desperately want to know about a character. And then the third one was the gap closure. So how the gap is closed is critical, and it has to be closed in a way that is relevant to the story's central plot, characters, and theme. The Scudderi Pleasant series is one of my favorite series, and it just gets better and better as it progresses. And I've mentioned this a lot throughout the episode, but I think this all comes down to loving the characters and the intricate, suspenseful ways that their backstories are slowly drip-fed to readers. As a reader, you're always left wanting more of their backstory. You're never left wanting to skip their backstory. It's always interesting to see it unfold, and you're always dying to see it unfold before it's finally given to you. I'm really excited to see where Derek Lanny takes his characters in the upcoming 12th book of the series, which comes out the 30th of May, 2019, so not long after this episode is released. So we are in for a good ride. Thank you for listening to the Novel Analysts podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you might also enjoy another episode I did on Scudderi Pleasant, which was episode 19, Scudderi Pleasant by Derek Landy, The Art of Naming. And in that episode, I deconstructed the technique that Derek Landy used in the first book in the series to create names that serve to characterize his characters. And that is a particularly important technique that he employed because the Scudderi Pleasant series, like the Harry Potter series, which is a series I would find it 100% comparable to in terms of quality, it has a lot of characters, has probably hundreds of them. So having unique names for them and using those names to serve the double purpose of characterizing people effectively is a great technique that he employs in this series. And again, you can listen to that episode where I deconstruct all of that, episode 19, Scudderi Pleasant by Derek Lanny, The Art of Naming. Thanks again for listening to the Novel Analyst podcast, and I'll see you next time.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.